GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
It is time to talk hurling because it's a huge weekend in both Leinster and Munster. For the first time ever, we have the round robin series in the Munster Hurling Championship, starting at the Gaelic Grounds 2 o'clock on Sunday with Limerick against Tipperary, and then at 4 at Porkeycueve, it's Cork against Clare. We've reporters at all these games, including Tommy Walsh down at Porkeycueve for Cork against Clare. We'll also be covering Kilkenny against Offaly and Wexford against Dublin in the Leinster Hurling round robin. Dahi Regan and Tommy Dunn are on the line to look ahead to these games. Tommy, it's a very different type of preview we now have to do, because ordinarily we'd probably have 25 minutes just to talk about Limerick against Tip, whereas now there's four really important games happening this weekend. From a Leinster point of view, and you've been involved with a lot of inter-county squads behind the scenes, for Kilkenny, for Offaly, for Dublin, who are playing their second game in 7 days, what are you hearing in terms of how different the structure is this year in terms of rest, recovery, trying to get yourself back up again for another big game?
Well, I think this is the most challenging aspect of the new regime, without a shadow of a doubt. The intensity that Kilkenny, the Kilkenny-Dublin match last weekend, like, and then to have to go at it again next Sunday, that's a big... I don't know how this is going to work over 4 weeks. And certainly the big teams with the big squads probably have an advantage. But like Kilkenny and Dublin, I didn't really see the Galway-Offaly game, so I can't comment too much on it, but it was still a championship game and there'll be a lot of sore bodies after it on pitches that have dried out significantly in the last week or 10 days. So I think it's an awful lot to ask of people, Nathan, I'll be honest with you. So it'll be interesting to see, for example, the Wexford-Dublin game and how Dublin come back after their epic battle with Kilkenny, to see how they recover. Are they going to start the same team again, or will they start a couple of fresh guys?
Dahi, there's obviously huge doubts over Conal Keeney, and that may well be the decisive factor in this game between Wexford and Dublin. But again, it's a very different way of heading into a championship game. Ordinarily, the reaction last Monday would be devastation in the Dublin squad. Their Leinster Championship campaign is over. They probably have 3-4 weeks before they start trying to get everybody together again for qualifiers, making sure nobody leaves the country. Whereas in fact now they've a chance of redemption 7 days later. If they can go down and win at Wexford Park, it changes the entire complexion of the summer in the Leinster Championship.
Well, it does. It changes it for Dublin. It's going to change it for Wexford if Wexford suffer a loss in the first game at home, because their ambitions are lofty and I think justifiably so. I guess it's new territory, as Tommy has alluded to. It's new territory for everybody. I mean, the other side of the coin is, if, as expected, along expected lines this weekend, that Dublin do lose and that Offaly do lose, well then, after 8 days, you're talking about Dublin and Offaly in a relegation playoff. Now, it's been touted from the very off that this was the most likely scenario, which is why I think Pat Gilroy was extremely disappointed, because Dublin put so much into last weekend. Dublin expected to win privately. Dublin really expected to win. They thought they were ready to take Kilkenny down. Did a huge amount of homework done, a huge amount of aggression. Playing Coney or Conal Keeney up front with his strength and physicality, along with Liam Rush and Sutcliffe in that forward line as well. They really fancied their chances. So that was a huge thing. So within 7 days, 8 days, you've got to lift yourself to be at that level again, because if Dublin aren't for that level again, Wexford will be. Wexford will be up for this in a huge way, because they've been pre-warned now. So the difficulty really here is, within the space of a week, that you've got Dublin and Offaly, you know, as make weights then within the group, because I don't believe, with respect, that Dublin will beat Galway, and I don't believe that Offaly will beat Wexford at home. But then ultimately what you have is pretty much what everybody saw from the start, really hugely enticing Munster Championship with everyone capable of beating everyone, and Leinster been down to Dublin, Kilkenny and Galway as expected. There's an imbalance there. It's imperfect, and it's a question mark that's been around the place for the last week. And prior to this is to the unevenness of the Leinster Championship and the fact that someone's going to get relegated. Now, it doesn't mitigate against the fact that for all the top teams that's in it, I'm excited by it. I think most people are. So many games coming after one another. But there is just a question mark, of course, over the fact that, you know, one of the Leinster teams is going to get relegated and not play Leinster Senior Championship next year. And and it's been voted on, it was voted by greater than a two-thirds majority. I firmly believe that the way it's set up now, it suits the GAA. It's creating big crowds at provincial grounds, a lot of talk. There's going to be a lot of really good games. And I think that's what the GAA are about commercially, and I'm not specifically knocking them. I think it's the same with the Super 8 in football. But very little thought has been given to the one or two counties that may suffer. Maybe they're right from a commercial point of view. Maybe that's not their business to sort out weaker counties and that type of thing. But there is an imbalance there.
And Dahi, what are you expecting then from Offaly this weekend? It's not your usual all or nothing game against Kilkenny. Is there a part of you that thinks actually maybe Offaly are thinking about damage limitation over these opening couple of matches, just making sure that their confidence isn't completely eroded heading into that game against Dublin in the final round, in the round robin?
It's a fair point, Nathan. I mean, we were well beaten last weekend. We were very competitive for the first half, and we hurled as well as we could, and as expected, against All-Ireland champions, who are a really good side and who will be in the mix at the very end, undoubtedly. It's not a public utterance he'll hear coming from the management or the players.
No, they can't say
rightly
it.
So. But having said that, if we're talking about the ifs, ands and buts, if Offaly were to suffer hugely, well then of course, and maybe pick up a couple of injuries, and without the strength and depth that Tommy has alluded to that certain counties have, which is critical, well then you're facing into the last couple of games against Wexford and Dublin, which by the way we have in successive Sundays. It is what it is. I mean, yes, if you're going up to Parnell Park and you're on the back of another beating this weekend, well, you know, it doesn't do much for confidence. It really doesn't. Sure, that's the way it is, and we've known that coming into it. We are the weakest side in the five in the group, and that's the reality. Just the reality of it, and that's it. And you were hoping to get. You're never going to catch Galway. Dublin was always kind of the fixture that was been targeted, but I think Dublin have probably frightened everyone in Offaly after the performance last weekend.
Tommy, on Dublin's performance last weekend and how it may affect that game then against Wexford, from the aggressive nature of Dublin's play, the huge improvement we've seen from the league, the brilliance of Keeney and the brilliance of Liam Rush as well, are you looking at Dublin in a completely different way heading into this Wexford game? And where are the areas where you think they can really challenge Wexford?
Well, it's an interesting one because, right, and I know from preparing championship teams in the past, you know, the old way of doing it was you kind of prepared for the very first game. And it was very obvious that Dublin had a strategy. They had a game plan. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew the way Kilkenny were going to play, and they set up accordingly to their own strengths. Now, the question is, did they have time to prepare a similar strategy or a specific strategy to play against Wexford? And if they did, that's a hell of a job that they've done. And if they can execute it successfully, that is phenomenal work from a management and coaching perspective. But it would be extremely difficult to do. So I don't really know what to expect. I think Dublin will play to their strengths again, which is their athleticism. Their half-back line is strong. They obviously Rush and Keeney in particular are their go-to attacking players, with Rush really the fulcrum where everything goes direct to him and he runs direct and lays off. So will they be able to play a similar strategy against a Wexford team that play very deep and risk losing a lot of kind of first phase possession to balls going into Rush? And what do they have outside of that? That's the thing. And that's why I'm saying Kilkenny have fellas on the bench, Galway have fellas on the bench, Wexford probably maybe not as much, but they probably have a bit few more options than Dublin. So it's very hard to know. But Dublin have a good base, and I think when the dust has settled, if even a week is enough time for dust to settle on the Dublin Kilkenny, there's a lot that they have going right for them. You know, they will take a lot of confidence out of it. What I was kind of found strange about the Dublin thing was how they faded so badly in the last 10 minutes and how almost very suddenly how their discipline, it was Dublin's discipline, I think, that just cost them the game. I know Kilkenny nailed it when they got the chance, but Dublin conceded four or five frees in the last 10 minutes. they conceded nine frees to TJ and four to Owen Murphy. So that's a clear area for improvement. And, you know, the game, I think, will improve Dublin if they can recover in time. To have a game under your belt, obviously a win is huge, but Dublin, you know, Dublin aren't a million miles away. And, like, I'd give them a chance against Wexford. You know, I would give them a real chance against Wexford if they can get back up to the pitch of it very quickly.
Tipperary against Limerick should be a really interesting afternoon at the Gaelic grounds, yeah. Tommy. They played out a brilliant game in the Division 1 semi-finals in the Allianz League. Jan Kiely, understandably delighted with Limerick's campaign, getting promotion, putting in some important performances in the big games. Where do you think Tipperary are right now, though? Seamus Callanan could be back, missed the entire league campaign, and that's allowed Jason Ford to really step forward as another potential marquee forward. How do you see the two of them playing together, and how much of a boost is it for Tip to have those sort of assets in the forward line?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Like, Callanan has been our leading forward in the last 3 or 4 years. So, but he's missed a huge amount of hurling, and he probably isn't match fit, and that's the reality. And in fairness to Ford, he's come to the fore, and he's been excellent during the league, and he's a certain starter, no question about it. So they may not start Callanan. You wouldn't know. It's hard to know. And Tip have a share of injury. So the thing from a Tip perspective, as I would see it, was that we were moving along fine until the league final. It looked like we had a few options, both in particularly around the forward line and midfield and a little bit in the backs. And all was progressing nicely until we were comprehensively beaten in Nolan Park. So the worry then is, do you really have answers to all the questions after the league final? And the answer probably is no. And I think there's a question mark about who's going to be in the goals. There's a question mark about what the makeup of the full back line is going to be. There's a question mark about who's going to be in midfield. And we have good options in the forward line, whatever way he decides to mix it up. So, this is a 50-50 game, Nathan, if there was ever one. I can guarantee you that. And I think, maybe a bit like Dublin against Kilkenny last week, I think Limerick will be very, very confident, quietly confident, that they can beat Tip on Sunday. I think Limerick will definitely have been targeting this game as a game that they can win. And it could be a serious game. It could be a ferocious game.
What do you make of that, Tommy? Limerick have been enjoying great success in hurling at club level, at underage level, coming fresh off a really positive league campaign. Are they at a level, you think, going into the might of Tipperary, that it's almost 50-50?
Is that for me or Dahi?
For Dahi.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I agree with Tommy. The thing about it is, I fancy Tipperary to be in the All-Ireland final from the start of the year with a full complement of players. Yet I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Limerick beat them the weekend. So I'm kind of saying, well, you know, where's my thoughts on Limerick on this? And is that kind of a diminution of where I think Tip are going? I just think Tip, with their full forward line in particular, and I, unlike a lot of people, wasn't as pessimistic after the league final for the simple reason I felt that Tip, with a full complement panel fully fit, that there'd be five different starting forwards than there would have been in the league final. And I just think on the day, yes, they were well beaten towards the end of the game, but I just saw enough in them to think that he has a panel, he has a squad. He's not going to introduce five starting forwards into the forward line for the Limerick game. But to have him on the bench and know maybe there's one or two you can throw in with McGrath and with these guys, and Seamus Callanan, I just think he has a really strong panel, been picked. But yet, having said that, you mentioned the underage. You look at the club championship as well in Limerick. And John Kiely has been a very understated man since he's come in. And I've watched him throughout the league, and I've been hugely impressed with Limerick. And I really think they're onto something here. The key difference for me is a fully fit Tip team with forwards on fire and available to them. I think they have a better forward line than Limerick. I think Limerick are really, really strong throughout their side with a huge work rate. They play a lovely, disciplined brand of hurling. I think they are really, really good. And I agree with Tommy. I really would not be surprised if Limerick win it the weekend. And if they do, it's just a fascinating Munster championship either way. But what's really interesting is, and Tommy alluded to it there, Dublin going out like they did against Kilkenny, Limerick coming out like they will, absolutely ferocious in the Gaelic grounds this weekend, and yes, they will target Tipperary. The damage a defeat could do, and to recover within 7 to 8 days, these are all unknowns that it's the first time we've witnessed this. That's going to be really interesting as to, if it's a classic and you lose, how teams can pick themselves up afterwards, because then all of a sudden you're thinking, crikey, we can't afford to lose a second one. So although it's the first game, they are so important to get on the board with 2 points. It's really, really critical to get a win in the first game, particularly, I would argue, in Munster.
Last year, Doughty, was a hugely disappointing championship for Limerick, the way they went out to Clare and Kilkenny. But John Kiely feels that they are an awful lot stronger in terms of squad depth, in terms of the level of performance they showed during the league. What's changed, though, over the last 12 months? Where have they found that extra strength? What are they doing differently that he seems to feel a lot more confident?
I would have to say, looking from what I've seen of them so far, would be an honesty within the dynamic of the group. I think the work rate has been fantastic in every game I've seen of Limerick, and I watched them really closely in Offaly. They motored really well. There was a huge amount of communication. There was a lot of aggression in their hurling, a lot of aggression, a lot of movement, a lot of speed. And what I liked about it, when they put Offaly to the sword relatively early in the game, you could see the determination both in the management and the players on the park that they wanted more. They weren't happy winning. And I've seen them come up and beat Offaly before in the league, and I've seen Offaly beat Limerick over the last few years. There was something different about Limerick from what I've seen this year. There's a rawness and a ruthlessness, and I guess the management squad and the manager must take huge credit for that, because within a group dynamic, it's very, very easy to have a number of players in it with a defeatist kind of attitude, and the whole squad can suffer from it and a rot can spread. It appears to me that this management team have got this group of players and have been able to sit them down and talk them through the fact that they're extremely talented, that there's a world of hurling open to them this summer, that there's opportunities to win silverware, i.e. Munster and All-Ireland success. That's what I firmly believe he's been telling these guys. And to me, they've bought into it. And it's shown, and it's coming out in their hurling, that there's a confidence to their hurling in the night they played Tipperary. The way they threw the ball around, now ultimately they came up short, and Tip were shorn of a lot of first-time starters. Limerick were down the club players. So they weren't one bit afraid of Tipperary. They went toe-to-toe, and if they could just cut down on wides, Limerick just seemed to have this habit of snatching at shots at times where the likes of Tip and Kilkenny in particular, over the years, will hit a huge percentage of their scores. If they hit a day like that on Sunday where they can hit 85% return on shots on goal, well then, if that happens, I think Limerick will actually win it. But it's the honesty and integrity within the group and a will to fight that I haven't seen the last couple of years, not since John Allen was there, I'd have to say.
I don't want to keep going back to the unknowns, Tommy, because of the change in structure, but if everything Doughty says there clicks for Limerick and they do show form in front of the post and they get rid of the wides, suddenly it's not just a one-off. They don't have to wait 3-4 weeks for a Munster semi-final or a Munster final. Suddenly they're out again a week later, and that momentum and that form sticks with you. So even though it's the first game, it could be a defining game.
Yeah, the first game is important, and the format suits the teams that win their first game. They suit winning teams because your confidence is high, you have momentum, you don't have to wait 3 or 4 weeks for the next game, so you roll right into the next one. So absolutely, a win in the first one, it's like a 100-meter sprint, you know what I mean? You get up, you get running as quick as you can, and you're into your stride and away you go. Whereas if you struggle at the first or you miss a stride early on, it could be bloody over by the time you get back on track.
Cork against Clare at Páirc Uí Chaoimh, Tommy, the longer it goes on and the repeat of that 2013 All-Ireland final, it feels as there was more of a freakish nature to Clare's win because they're really struggling to back it up. The vibes from the county, from around, seem to be that they're the weakest of the counties in this Munster round robin. Is there anything that you've seen to suggest that they're not?
Well, I have a lot of time for this Clare team. I fancied, I'm an idiot when it comes to predicting things anyway, but I just have a lot of time for these guys because they're hurlers. Like, they're out and out hurlers. They have a lot of talent. I'm waiting for them to explode. But the thing is, every year slips by, and the fact of the matter is they're not reaching the standard that they should be making. They're not even really looking like they're going to do anything. Their style of play is all over the place. They're inconsistent. So is there anything to suggest it'll be different this year? Maybe not, but maybe Sunday we'll see something that might show us that it's going to be different. And I think the one thing about Clare and Cork, traditionally, I think Cork's style of play suits Clare because it's open. You probably mightn't get the physicality that a Clare Limerick game might bring, if you know what I mean. So Clare, it might suit Clare's style a little bit more that they'll be able to run at them, they'll be able to throw the ball around. They might get opportunities from 50, 60 yards to convert that they mightn't get against other teams. But I just have an instinct that this Clare team is going to do something. Now, I could be way wrong, and don't ask me for rationale to back it up other than in terms of the raw materials. The only thing I think fundamentally that there's an issue with is a bit of power up front, you know, and a bit of a dog in him that actually will break someone up or turn someone over and knock someone back. Like, they have finishers. They have an inside forward line that can hurt you with quick ball when they run at you, but you only see glimpses of it. So it'll be, I'd expect them to come hard to Páirc Uí Chaoimh. You know, the pressure is on Cork a little bit on Sunday. It's a home game. Clare maybe, as you say, regarded as maybe a little bit lightweight. So there's a bit of pressure on Cork to actually go and do something. So it's a right opportunity for Clare to make a statement. And I have a feeling that they might.
Yeah, Dahi, just your thoughts briefly on Clare then, on the inconsistency, the lack of a real style of play, not knowing what Clare is going to turn up day in, day out. It almost sounds as though they need a bit of what Limerick have learned over the last year, that little bit of a nastiness, a bit of a cutting edge, a bit of honesty of endeavour almost.
Yeah, well, here's your idiot brother, Tommy, because I've been waiting and saying, you know, on this programme for the last 2 years that I'm expecting huge things from Clare, and they were my dark horses 2 years ago for the All-Ireland, and last year I think I even tipped them to win the All-Ireland final. Because of the quality that pervades through this particular team, there's a couple of things going against them. Number one, I do think that the management change, when it came, was needed and was important at that time. I do think the fact that Donal Logue is gone and the two boys are there now on their own, I actually think that's a positive move, and that's no reflection on anybody other than these two gentlemen have been very, very successful with Clare in the under-21s and all that they've won. I think it's their baby now and that's it. And they're not answerable to anybody else except a group of players whom they know deeply and affectionately because of what they've come through over a number of years. So I really think we're going to see a really different Clare this year. I'm really expecting it. What could go against them? If Cork are well, Cork are a team that on a given day can hit 20 to 25 points. Now, that's a huge score. Mm. And then Clare have to score goals, because I don't see the Clare forward line doing that. Clare's hurling the last couple of years has been a wee bit too manufactured for me, a little bit too robotic. And I've always believed, again, that there's so much talent within that group. I just wish they could let the reins off. Now, again, I do believe Donal Logue's influence previously would have kind of been like a very structured type of game, from puck outs to plan B, plan A, zone A, zone B, etc. I think the two boys will let them off the leash a little bit more, recognise the qualities that's there, and go back to the type of style that they played at the under-21 level, which was an aggressive off-the-ball, tight marking, with the ball, overlap, get it to the player that's in space, and then heads up hurling, where it's not over elaborated after that, and a willingness to let it in long. So in many respects, it's a clash of styles that aren't exactly the same. But I just think Clare will hurl freer this year. It depends on what John Myler, a man I greatly respect with Cork, where Cork are within their own heads. Because listen, let's face it, again, they're just an enigma, but a total enigma. On their day, they can be absolutely brilliant and what we've expected going back over decades, but lots of things have changed within the game of hurling, etc. It's a difficult one to call, but again, I'm going to stick with Clare on this one.
All right. Great stuff, lads. Thanks a lot. There was a lot to get through in that. Tommy Dunn and Dahi Regan, thanks a lot for talking to us. If we didn't really get to talk about your county, I'm looking particularly at all the Cork people listening today, well, tune in to the Hurling Show tomorrow, which is going to be live on all of Off the Ball social channels. You can get it on Facebook Live if you're at work, or YouTube, or on Periscope. Shane Stapleton is going to be joined by Cork hurling legend Tomás Mulcahy. Michael Verney is going to be in studio as well, and ex-GEA president Nicky Brennan, and Kieran Joyce also on the show. So tune into that from 12:30 tomorrow. Plenty more previews to come tomorrow night and on Saturday afternoon as well. And as I say, we've reporters at all four games on Sunday afternoon.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.